If you've been following along and have never joined a design bootcamp, I'm going to encourage you to sign up. It's 5 hours of workshops and we have live versions going on often so you can come and ask questions. Go to www.designsuitecourses.com/designbootcamp. My name is Karina Gardner, and I'm what you would call a practical designer. If you're ready to create a life that you love, become an incredible force for good, and generate income while pursuing your dreams, this is the podcast for you. Welcome to Make and Design. Hey, designers. Today, I am here with Ashton Rodenheiser, and we are going to be talking about illustration and some of the cool things involved with her book, which she has a beginner guide. So for some of you, this is going to be very interesting and going to help you out. Welcome, Ashton.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
We are so happy to have you. Okay, so let's start at the very beginning. How did you get into illustration and some of the stuff you're teaching now?
Yeah, so I out of college, I started working out at a family center, and I was introduced into the world of facilitation. So facilitation is quite different than teaching because it's really about harvesting the wisdom of the group rather than standing at the front of a room and teaching someone something. And I really fell in love with the group process around that, how to create safe spaces for people to have and build relationship with one another and hear their own ideas and their own learnings and learning from each other. And after I had been doing that for a little while, someone introduced me into the world of graphic facilitation. I didn't know what that was, but I took a one-day course and was totally hooked. And that was about 10 years ago now.
So interesting. So what is graphic facilitation? I know that there are those who are listening to this or watching this going like, what is that? I've never heard of that before.
Yeah. So you'll often find me in meetings or strategic planning sessions or conferences, basically any place where someone is delivering information to a room or a crowd, or people are having a discussion about something. I find myself in those types of settings. So as people are having that conversation or doing those presentations, I'm listening, I'm trying to make sense of what I'm hearing, I'm synthesizing that information, and I'm drawing it live in real time. So the goal is when that conversation is done, or when that presenter is done presenting for that hour, I am pretty much done as well. And then you have that visual representation of what was just discussed or presented.
That is very fascinating. So are you usually doing it like on a paper, like in front of you as you're doing it? Are you doing it like so that everyone can see it, like on a whiteboard? How does this look?
Yeah, it's pretty important. The fact that people can see it is actually pretty important to it. So when I'm in person, it kind of looks a couple different ways. If it's a small, intimate setting, I'm actually like giant paper, giant markers doing it. And it could be, usually it's like 4 feet wide, but it could be like 8, 10, 12, 16 feet long, depending on how big of a conversation. And or I can do it digital. So I have a little screen with me and that gets projected on a screen. So everybody sees every little spelling mistake I make, every time I move something around, every time I erase something. So it's important to see the process, because as they're hearing something, you are seeing it as well, right? So you're like, oh, I'm here. That presenter just said something. I see it being drawn out, and it solidifies it from a memory perspective, right? Because I'm sure we've all gone to events, listened to all these amazing speakers. You leave and you're like, what did I just learn? What can I actually implement into my life or my work? Right. So part of my job is that engagement in the moment, but also creating something that someone can reflect on days, weeks, years to come. And then also doing it online in a digital way. So instead of seeing me here on a video, you would see, it usually starts with just like a blank white screen. And then as the meeting or conversation unfolds, the drawing would come to life.
So fascinating. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I mean, I'm thinking about this in a lot of different ways because I have a team and I have a company, and I'm thinking about how we kind of draw and figure out things and the power of seeing a graphic versus just a lot of lines of text, right?
Absolutely,
So
yeah.
I've never heard of this before, but I love it. This is incredible. We talked a little bit about, I asked, like, so do you do this in person? Do you do it virtually? Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the transition with COVID kind of forced me to, maneuver my business model to working with people online and being able to do it. So sometimes everyone is online, so we're all in our little screens, and that's one way. But I also have clients that their meeting is either hybrid or they're in person, but I'm digital. So they pull my video feed and project it on a screen in the room, like giving the illusion that I'm actually there where I'm not. So that's kind of like the beauty and power of sort of being hybrid or in this like virtual space. There's nothing like pen and paper. If I have an opportunity to use my markers, I will. There's just something unique and tactile about the physicality of it when I'm on paper. But that's not always going to be the right setting, depending on if I'm actually going to be there or what size of a group it is and all of that kind of thing. So, yeah, honestly, COVID was a bit of like a blessing in disguise when it came to trying to figure out how I can have a more flexible business model, with being able to kind of work from home a little bit too, which has been nice.
Yeah, that is nice. So I'm still envisioning, I'm envisioning you drawing these things for these meetings. And I'm wondering if there are some things that are harder than others. Cause I'm making assumptions that like you like do something for one company and they have like specific words and jargon that they use, and you're trying to build something out for them. And you're not maybe 100% sure what everything is versus maybe that's every company. I don't know. Are there companies that are easier, like that you're drawing things out for just because you understand it better? I'm super curious about this because I'm assuming this particular type of design work or illustration work requires an abundance of critical thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. And making like a million decisions in the moment and not letting your mind wander for not even one second. Yeah. So, if it's a brand new industry, I've worked in so many industries at this point that like there's very few that I encounter that I've never touched at any point. But usually when I encounter something a bit unique or different that I haven't encountered before, usually I'll just ask the client, like, send me an article, send me a YouTube video, just to kind of get my foundation set. And then I can see if there's any jargon that I can kind of ask them ahead of time. But I usually like to do a little bit of research a little ahead of time just to kind of see, is there anything that might come up? And I always like to have somebody on their team that if I'm stuck, I can ask. Like, it's just good to have them there just in case I need them. And usually it's just like to spell different things. It's usually mostly a spelling issue than a comprehension issue. But yeah, that's sort of, depending on, might end up doing a little bit of research ahead of time just to sort of prepare. But some of the industries that I just tend to like work in over and over again, even though they're quite complex, I've worked in them for so long that like I'm like, I could probably get a job. I probably like know enough. Like I could probably pass an interview. I wouldn't be able to do the job, but I could probably pass the interview because I would know what to say. I would
Yeah,
know the right
that's
answers to the questions.
so fascinating. Like when you are drawing these graphics, is there like a type of graphic that comes up over and over again, like a pie chart or a triangle pyramid, or is there something that comes up often, or is or do you have like a little grouping, like an arsenal of graphics that end up working well?
Yeah, well, it's really the way that you do it so quickly and on the fly, it's like you're a visual interpreter, right? So if you think about like a language, let's say you sign language, I almost became a sign language interpreter. The sign language interpreter's there at the front of the room and they're hearing it and they're translating it, right? So or an audio, right? Like a vocal translation. So translate that into a visual translation. So when I hear a word or hear a concept, I would have a bank of images in my mind. The key is that I already know how to draw. That's the most important part. Key of banks in my mind that I already know how to draw that I can pull on, right? So it's like a lot of the work is building your muscle memory and your visual vocabulary so that when someone says something, no matter if it's like complex or not, you have something. There's a difference between like how do you draw resilience or how do you draw an elephant is two different things, right? Level of complexity. Or if when someone says something, then someone else says something, and someone else says something, and how those things build upon each other. You can kind of rely on things that you've drawn in the past or how you've made help make those connections in the past. The unique thing is everyone is always going to look different, right? Because every conversation is different, every presentation is different. I might use a lot of icons in one, but I might use a lot of people in another, right? So everyone is unique and different. But the basis is really creating that foundation of that language in your mind that you already have the confidence you know what to draw.
Very interesting. So it doesn't normally end up, it sounds like, in some kind of graph or chart or something. It's like, it sounds like it's far more complex than that.
Yeah, I don't know about complex, maybe just different. Like, yes, someone might throw a pie chart up on the slide. I'd be like, is that important? Who knows? Let's see. Okay, maybe we'll capture it. Less focus necessarily, not necessarily on like a graph or a chart or something like that, but trying to bring out like the humanity and the interwoven relationship to the information. I also love to infuse a lot of humor in my work, and I think my clients choose me for my playfulness in design. So, I lean on like anthropomorphism a lot, where like adding faces to objects and stuff, So, and my style is a bit like cartoony. It's not pretty. It's not super serious. It can be a serious conversation with like a playful vibe, while also getting the work done or the conversation done or what have you. So, I have my style. That's my style. And if someone wants other than like, oh, use blue, but like, okay, that's easy. But if they want me to draw in a particular style, like that's just not my vibe. Like you get what you get when you hire me for a style. Yeah.
Interesting. I love it. I love that you know your style and that you're able to. It sounds like you're like, this is what it is. So that
Yeah.
probably makes it really easy to know which clients really are going to appreciate and want to use you versus ones that maybe are not a right fit. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, and there's like things that, I can that sometimes is noticeable in graphics and sometimes are not that I can talk to people about, like accessibility is really important to me, diversity is really important to me. So I try to show representation in graphics, and I provide audio descriptions after the fact so that people with screen readers can still benefit from them a little bit. So there are, I think, some things that maybe some of my colleagues around the world don't necessarily incorporate, but I tend to work with people who appreciate some of the additional things that I provide from a value perspective.
Very cool. And I think that transitions us into maybe talking a little bit about now you teach it and you have a book about it. Can we talk about the book to begin with and like what was your purpose in actually publishing the book?
Yeah, so for all these years showing up and doing these things, one of the number one thing that someone would say when they would come up to me at an event or comment in a Slack channel about is, oh, I wish you could come to every meeting and do this for me. Like, I wish I could just have you in my back pocket. And when I would tell people, oh, yeah, well, you could, it's actually not that hard to learn. You could totally learn it. They're like, no, I could never. It's so, no way. And I was like really disappointed about that. Like, I feel like it's a skill set that even though I chose the path where I wanted to make it my profession, you can do the same thing for yourself. You can learn how the visual alphabet and really basic drawing elements that so you can do it yourself. Like if you're in a meeting or you're at a conference, like if I'm not always there to help to do it, or they didn't hire someone to do it, then you can do it. You can totally do it. And I was feeling like I was encountering a lot of folks that were really hesitant. Like they were kind of interested, but they were very hesitant. And I felt like there wasn't a lot of information out there that was truly beginner content. I felt like a lot of the examples that people would share in this work are very polished, very beautiful, very well put together. Someone like me who've been doing it for a long time. So I wanted to strip it down to its basic necessities and try to walk people through the process of learning the aesthetics of it, because people do want it to look pretty. Like you can't avoid that, unfortunately. People want it to look pretty. So I teach some of that. I teach the vocabulary and I teach some things about like listening and thinking and stuff like that. So it's really important to me while someone gets, through the book that they feel very confident that they can do it themselves. I felt like that was kind of missing in the world. So, that's what I put together and released out last year. And I'm really excited to see kind of where this goes in the next little while. And one of my passion projects for teaching sketchnoting or visual note-taking is trying to incorporate into an option for students in schools instead of this very like top-down traditional note-taking where just like words, 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 words. Why don't we just like incorporate the doodles and the drawings into the learning? I don't know, like at some point, or maybe I don't know what happened that we took that kids learn a bunch of drawing. They do drawings to support their understanding up until like around here, it's age 10, grade 5, and then they like totally change and they like take out the drawings and make them only do words. And I find that we're just doing a huge number of students a disservice that would gravitate towards incorporating the drawings into their note taking.
So fascinating, and I agree with you. Really cool. I have a fifth grader, and he is they are. I mean, as soon as you said, I wonder what, like, when it was like, it's fifth grade. Fifth grade is the
Oh, fifth
transition
grade. Yeah.
for
I have a fifth
really
grader too.
for doing words. So, yeah, so interesting. I don't know if we caught the name of your book. Will you tell everyone where what it is and where they can buy it?
The Beginner's Guide to Sketchnoting. And you can get it on Amazon and all those online places. My website for all things learning how to sketchnote is sketchnote.school. And I've got a community on there and newsletter and the books on there and all the good stuff.
So you are actually teaching people how to do the sketch noting process now. Is that true?
That's true. And I actually just organized back in January a World Sketchnote Days on January 11th. And I organized an event and I ended up having 740 people register for this 3-hour online event from 64 countries. So it is truly a worldwide interest of folks. And it's always really interesting to me where people find it, how they get into it. Some come into it from like an art background. Some come in from teaching. I came into it through facilitation. Some people are like cartoonists. Some people are communications. And then you have people who are like, oh, they're in tech and they want to learn it to help them understand complexity in their jobs. Right. So there's so many different ways and backgrounds of people that use this to help them, focus better, increase their learning and comprehension, but then also try to use it as a way to help them break down complex ideas. So when I was writing the book, I thought a lot of people would want to learn it for their learning, to increase their learning and their comprehension. But what I'm finding in the Sketchnote School community is it's attracting a lot of people that also want to learn it to help them in their work or in their jobs to help break down complexity and communicate more clearly to their coworkers or
I
supervisors
was
or whatever.
literally thinking that. I was like, I don't want a job doing this. But as the CEO of my company, I was like, man, if I knew how to do this, I probably could get my leadership and my whole team on a better pace because they'd understand what I'm saying. Instead, I'm just like throwing out things at them all the time. But if I could draw them in our meetings, then everyone would be like, oh, I get it. I get what she's trying to say.
And it's good for like clarity, but it's also good when things go awry, right? So like if you're drawing something for your team and you're making the connections and la la la, and one of your team members goes, I am so confused. Like, can you clarify this for me more? And then you're like, oh, I didn't explain this as well as I thought because we had the drawing. I'm realizing these connections don't connect. Like, there's a miss, we're missing something here. So it can also add in like the additional observation for that question or that deepening of that understanding so that you don't leave the meeting going, oh, what was it that she said? Or you have like a really clear understanding of what it is that you are looking for or whatever it is that loop. Like you could even like doodle out like your whole marketing strategy. This goes here, this goes here, this goes here, and people know exactly where they fit as well.
Yeah, so incredible. It Ashton, if they are looking for, if you are listening and you want to find out what Ashton does, where should they go?
Yeah, I would say Sketchnote.school is definitely the place if you think this is really interesting, you want to see what this might look like to learn for yourself. You can definitely head over to Sketchnote School. I got lots of free stuff on there, like my newsletter, and our online community is there is a paid and a free community part. And the great thing about World Sketchnote Day is there is all the recordings to that event. And I actually do a 35, I think it ended up being about 35, 40 minutes long, like a Sketchnote 101, where I like walk through all the like the basics of it. And there's also Mike Rohde is on there as well. And he actually coined the term sketchnoting about 11 years ago. So it was a pretty big deal. So checking out the recordings on in the playground aspect of Sketchnote School is free for everybody to see as well.
So incredible. Thank you so
Yeah.
much, Ashton, for being on. You guys, we will have all of those links directly in our show notes for you if you want to go check it out. Thank you again for being on today. I hope those of you, I mean, all of you are creatives that are listening to this, but if you're interested in it, you go check out what Ashton is up to. It's very fascinating. It's another niche that I hadn't even considered, but could be a really amazing way for you to kind of look at either. If you're working in your own company or getting into if you want to do that work. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you guys soon. Did you know you have access to more free design content, die cut files, and sewing patterns? Join our exclusive VIP group for free by going to designsuitecourses.com/free.